In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our gospel passage for today is one of the favorites among commentators. If you turn to any number of them, you will find that they delve deep into this story with a particular appetite. This is for many reasons, and one of the most common areas explored in this passage is the blind man himself and how he is viewed by his community. In ancient times, people believed that any kind of physical flaw was caused by sin. You could simply look at a person, and if they had any kind of blemish to their physical body, you could blame it on sin. Things such as blindness and leprosy became synonymous with sinners. As you might imagine, these people were looked down upon. They were not pitied for their afflictions, but rather it was thought by many to be a fair punishment for the wrongs they had obviously done. What modern-day commentators like to do is look at this story with modern eyes and sensibilities. They like to comment on how far we have progressed, not only in our medical knowledge, but also in our understanding of sin. This, to me, comes across as a bit of modern hubris. It is a common mistake to look on the past, especially ancient times, and look down on them from a position of superiority. I think it's important to remember that in the not-so-distant future, we and our society will be looked at by people who find themselves in the position of supposed superiority. To focus on the interesting sociological differences of then and now can cause us to be blind to the message of this story. And it is precisely that, a lack of sight and understanding, that lies at the heart of this passage. One thing this man's blindness does is help to illuminate the blindness shared by the people in his community. After he is first healed, there are some who do not recognize him. This man who had been known to them their whole lives, this man who had lived among them, begged in the streets, attended synagogue with them. Even his parents are known to them. He is anything but a stranger. But yet somehow they do not recognize him. For them, this man, this neighbor, this fellow child of God was defined by one thing: his lack of sight and the sin that must have caused it. By his gaining his sight, their own blindness is revealed. They can only see him as the blind man. They can only see him as a sinner. To try and understand him as anything else, they suddenly lose their own ability to see clearly, and he is no longer recognized. Eventually, the religious authorities are brought in to investigate what has happened. They do everything they can to prove that something is wrong and that Jesus is not the Messiah. They interview the man who was formerly blind and refused to believe his account. They bring his parents to be interrogated. They question him a second time and eventually drive him out of the town. Once blind and now able to see, the man finds that the people of his community are now without sight. They cannot see the workings of God that stand right before them. They cannot see that Jesus, the Messiah, has come and is among them, doing the work of the Father. They are blind to the power of God. They are blind to the truth of Jesus Christ. They are blind to their own sin. It is sin that keeps them dwelling in darkness. It is sin that keeps them from stepping into the light. The light that Christ brings into the world is too much for them. They would rather wallow in their own judgments, shrouded in shadow, than live as children of light and admit their own sins before the Lord. This is one of the powers that sin has over us. It can cast darkness into our world and into our lives. It robs us of our sight. It leaves us blind. We grope around for understanding and find only darkness and confusion. It is only by confronting our sin, by confessing them, and allowing Jesus to live in us that his light can begin to cast out that darkness. During this season of Lent, we have been starting our worship together with the penitential order. Part of that order means moving the confession of sins from right after the prayers of people, right smack dab in the middle of our liturgy, and placing it front and center, one of the very first things we do together. I think it is important to reflect upon this action. Before we can sing songs of praise, before we can offer up our common prayer, before we can break bread and share wine, we take time to confess our sins and seek God's forgiveness. I think one could look at this action as one of thanksgiving, that before we receive the great gifts of grace that God prepares for us week in and week out, we unburden ourselves from our sins. We receive forgiveness for the wrongs we have done. And then receive God's blessing with unburdened and free hearts. Imagine if the members of the blind man's community had done the same thing. Imagine if they had sought out God's forgiveness and understanding before diving headlong into their judging and condemning of the miracle that was before them. What shift can it cause in our lives? What shift can it cause in the world if we seek to right our own sins first before anything else? Imagine if you had this ability to free yourself from the burden of your sin at any time. Well, it's a little known fact that we in the Episcopal Church have confession. In our prayer book, it can be found under the reconciliation of a penitent. The sacrament of reconciliation is an important part of the church's tradition. During this season of Lent, I would like to invite you all to think about this sacrament, to pray about it, to ask yourself the question, is this something I could use in my continuing journey to live deeper into my faith? Reconciliation is not an obligation. No one should ever feel that they are obligated to do it. And reconciliation is not therapy. It is something much more profound than that. It is a sacrament that helps to cast the darkness of sin out of our souls and invite the light of Christ in. By naming what we find wrong in ourselves and in our lives, we can name the grace of God that we want to enter in. What reconciliation is a gift from God. It is a precious thing. It can be offered at any time. It can be made in any place. In reconciliation, we are free to unburden ourselves from the weight of our sins, and we are granted comfort. We are invited to step out from beneath the shadow of our own sins and into the light of Christ. Now, right now, we live in a world that is deeply, deeply divided. There is a lot of finger-pointing, a lot of blaming. There are a lot of people who believe they can see clearly the sin of their neighbor, and that gives them the right to judge, to condemn, and to drive out those who they disagree with. But time and time again, Jesus calls us to stop and to look at ourselves first, to stop and not call down judgment on others, but instead to turn towards God and pray for mercy, a mercy that we all so desperately need. reconciliation offers us what the man in the gospel received, and that is sight. Sight of our own sin, sight of our own failings, but most importantly, sight of God's forgiveness, sight of God's mercy, sight of God's grace, sight of the darkness of sin being cast away and the light of Christ flooding in. Amen.